In this episode, we speak to Judah. Judah has recently relapsed on heroin and is currently going to methadone every day to manage his withdrawal symptoms. He allowed us to interview him so that he could share what it's like to be in the midst of this addiction to an opiate, to heroin. Listen to his story and hopefully it's edifying and brings light to the darkness that so many addicts go through when trying to get free from their addiction. This is the Most High Show.
Messed up. Been trying to find my way back, man. Hard thing to deal with. Now I go to the methadone clinic and stuff like that. Use that to keep me sober.
How's that working for you?
It's alright. Yeah, I mean, it works pretty good. I mean, to be honest, it works pretty good. It's just the whole replacing something, you know what I mean? Like replacing one drug with another.
Right.
You know, it's very hard to hold on to that one thing that's keeping me sober.
Because you still, you get high off methadone?
No, you don't. I don't. It affects with different personalities.
Yeah.
It keeps you from withdrawing, and we gotta figure something out. You know, when I was real bad off, cause you know when you're on the addict side, you really don't see how bad it is,
right?
Until you're to that point to where you have to use just to feel normal.
Right.
You know, and it's crazy. It's just a handful, man. And
when was the last time you did dope?
I relapsed probably like a couple weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago.
When you say you relapsed, what does that mean?
I shot it once. And it's the smallest things that really set you off. It's, you know, me and her arguing, because we have zero trust, like as her is saying today. I don't know if you had plans or something today, and I told her my plans were, you know, I have to go to the clinic, and then I was going to go shoot
right. With
one of my buddy's friends, and there's just absolutely zero trust. She constantly thinks I'm trying to use 24/7.
Right.
Because right now I'm out of a job, and she actually works. She's working right now. And
do you live with her?
Yeah, we do.
You guys live together
right now. So I'm just trying to find my way back home, man. I'm, you know, still struggling to stay sober till this day. And the longest I've ever been sober was when I got locked up. I did like a year and a half, and then I got out and went to Danny's rehab and stayed there for 6 months and moved in with the wrong people, some wrong friends, and relapsed. And it's been a struggle, man. It really has.
Yeah, because you weren't using methadone at that time.
No, I was not using methadone at that time.
Have you ever, or is this the first time you went to it?
This is the first time I've ever used methadone. And you have to literally go every morning, wake up every morning, and you have to be there from 6 to 11:30. Sometimes on the weekends, you actually have to be there from 6 to 9. They close early on the weekends. You know, and you have to use every day. And honestly, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to replace my habit with another habit. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I really just want to be like all out sober. When I was completely sober, like not using anything, I replaced my addiction with working out. And that was the happiest I'd ever been. And, you know, ever since I got out of rehab, I relapsed. And I've been trying to get back on track. And it's the littlest things that'll set you off. It's either a thought or someone saying something or you seeing something. It's that easy to trigger you into using. And, you know,
right.
I don't want it to be like that anymore. I want to you know, go back to being sober. And
well, that's why it's hard, because when you get into rehab, rehab removes you from all those influences and removes you from the ability to use, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you, like, you're in the situation you're in, you're like having to, you're trying to do all this while you're experiencing all those triggers and all those things.
Yeah, and it started for me, man, when I was young, when I was 17. My 17th birthday, actually, I rented out a hotel room with a bunch of my friends. And they were all doing heroin. And, you know, one of my friends was like, oh, man, you got to try this. This is nothing compared to smoking weed and doing all this. And, you know, when I was a little kid growing up, I watched my, you know, other siblings doing drugs, and me and my younger brother. And we would always be like, we're never going to do drugs when we grow up, you know. We'll never do that. And soon enough, you grow into it and you hang out with the wrong crowd. And on my 17th birthday, everyone was using heroin. And my friends was like, man, you got to try this, man. You got to try it. And I gave in. And that was my first time shooting up.
And first time you tried it with shooting up?
Yeah, that was the first time ever. And ever since then, man, it's just been a rodeo of hell, trying to find my way back home. And trying to stay sober. And a lot of people think, you know, addiction isn't a disease. It's your, you know, you chose to do that. Yes, we did choose that path. We did choose to do it. But the problem is we have a very addictive personalities. And our personalities let us stray off. So I started when I was really young. It was 17, and then from there on, I got with this girl, and she was, you know, doing everything from popping Xanax to drinking to smoking weed to Percocets and all this. And that's how it really started off. Was I was doing pills. I started doing Roxy's and stuff like that.
You were doing that before you did heroin?
Yeah. Well, I had tried heroin before that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't really mess with it for a while. Actually, I forgot. I tried it before that, or mm-hmm. I tried to try it before that. When I was working at Wendy's, one of my friends called me up and he was like, yeah, man, you gotta try this stuff called Boy. And I was like, all right, I'll come scoop you when I get off work. And I was with my ex at the time. And we went and got some. And got in a really bad car accident. I actually have a scar on my wrist from it. And I feel like that was God telling me not to mess with this stuff. Because we had gotten the car accident and I never got to do my stuff. We never got to do our stuff. My two friends in the back seat did. And we had gotten this really bad car accident and lost the bag. And it, you know, went off in the car somewhere. And the cops showed up and stuff like that. We were being rushed to the hospital. And next thing I know, a drug task force had came there and questioned us and told us they found a little bag of heroin in there. And we were telling them, you know, we don't know what it is. You know, we don't know how that got in the car. We don't use heroin because they had tested our blood. And we had never, you know, got to do any. So they believed us. And they thought it was somebody else. One of my friends that were in the back seat had ran, so they thought it was him, I guess, and I guess they pinned it all on him, I'm not sure. But I feel like that day was God telling me, do not mess with this drug, it will completely ruin your life.
Right.
And I completely ignored that, and that's when I had used, a couple weeks later at my 17th birthday party, that's when we had that hotel party, and we all used.
Yeah.
And then it was just spiraled out of control out of nowhere, man. It was just,
yeah. Well, no one uses drugs going, yeah, all right, let's get addicted.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, well, I had no idea what addiction was even back then. You know, I didn't even know addiction even existed until I was in the midst of the addiction, you know what I mean, already in it. And one day, you know, after a couple months of using, I was hanging out with one of my friends, you know, who did it a lot, who've been doing it for a couple years, and I was like, man, I'm really sick. Like, I don't feel good today. And he was like, you're withdrawn. And I was like, what do you mean I'm withdrawn? And he's like, have you been using every day? Like, have you been doing dope every day? And I'm like, yeah. And he's was like, yeah, have you done any today? And I said, no, I haven't done any in the past like 2 days. And yeah, he's like, that's what's wrong with you. You're withdrawing. You're withdrawing off the drug. You know, your body needs it. It almost uses it as a vitamin, you know, right, to keep you going and to feel normal. And it was, you know, it got so bad to the point where I was living in Atlanta out of my fiance's car, me and my brother and her panhandling every day, you know, lying to people about why we needed money, to get a hotel room, stuff like that, to feed us, get clothes, just to get the dope. And not, it wasn't even to get high, it was to feel normal. Yeah. It got so bad to where if we weren't high, we didn't feel normal. We felt sick and we felt, you know, secluded, I don't know, out of society. Like, everybody could tell we were addicts. But when we're high, we felt normal and we felt like no one was watching us and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
it's been crazy, man. It's been, you know, I wish I never would have picked it up. And to anyone who, you know, is just starting to use or haven't used, I do not recommend it, because it will completely ruin your life.
Yeah.
It'll ruin your relationship with your family, your, you know, girlfriend, whoever, your wife. Me and my fiance, we're fighting right now because she's not saying why. She's not saying the exact words as I can tell, or you had plans today. Like, she's insinuating, like, I wanted to go get high today or something like that, or I want to go to Atlanta or something like that. We've been really silent the whole car ride.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went to the methadone clinic, and it's so bad to the point where I have to be at the methadone clinic and take pictures of the dose that I'm taking and send it to her to prove,
yeah,
that I'm getting my dose for the day.
Well, you've kind of probably...
Oh, it's 100% my fault, because, right, you know, the lies that I've told her, and she's asked me straight up before, you know, have you used today? I went into a big lie about it, and then I got so tired of her keep nagging me that, you know, I'd come out and tell the truth.
Yeah.
And that's 100% my fault till this day. And I even told her that. I was like, even though we're arguing and stuff right now, it is 100% my fault, because I let my addict side come in to play and go off and tell lies and stuff like that. So
yeah. Well, take me back to when you relapsed. Like, you were in a program that was like a facility.
Yeah, right? You're like talking about rehab. When I was in rehab.
Yeah, so yeah, you were in a rehab, then you got out of there, and I imagine when you left, you didn't leave with the intention of relapsing, right?
No, not at all.
So, I mean, take me, like, so you get out. What are the things that happened to you leading up to that point where you go, okay, I'm going to cop and I'm going to get high?
Really, it was just right in front of me. It was really just right in front of me.
People's places and things.
Yes, people, places, and things.
So you were in a situation where the dope was around you.
Yeah. I moved into a house that I should not have moved into. Old friends, family member, even.
So take me back to that. So what made you... Because when you were going to move into that house, you knew. I mean, a part of you knew, right?
Oh, yeah. A part of me knew. Part of me knew even before I moved out. I was so excited about getting out of rehab, and it wasn't because I wanted to get high. It was just, I'm free because I had been locked up and in rehab and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't really get to spend time with my friends that much and stuff like that. And, you know, I went to the gym every day, and, you know, I was actually really fit back then. And, you know, I let it all go when I got out of rehab. Start hanging around with the wrong people, doing Roxy's again, started off with pills again, right back around, you know, what goes around comes around.
Yeah. What do you think?
And then,
what do you think? What tool did you not use? Like, what, looking back?
All of them, really. Yeah. To be honest, when I was in rehab, I didn't really believe in the 12 steps and the higher power thing. And, you know, Danny was always telling me, and Troy, too, were always telling me, you know, when you get out, you're going to mess up. And I didn't believe them. And I was just like, you know, I don't believe in the 12 steps, the higher power thing, really. I believe in it. It's all in you. It's all what you want to do, what you want. So I didn't really try working any of the steps, or I went to meetings and stuff. I did go to meetings a lot. Yeah. You know, did a lot of stuff to keep me sober, but I did not try working the steps or the higher power thing, really. I just, you know, kind of kept to myself. Really, the gym was my, whenever I would like get angry or feel like I wanted to use it, I'd go to the gym.
Go get a pump on.
So tell
me about, what's the higher power thing right now then, like?
Really, my higher power, I mean, everybody has different higher powers. Mine, I believe, is God. You know, I pray to God a lot. And, I mean, it, to be honest, it really doesn't seem to do much. But, I mean, it gives me a little release, you know, to know that someone's out there listening to me, you know, even when I can just speak in my head. You know, really, it's, he always has been my higher power, even when I didn't believe there was the whole higher power thing.
So what's your plan right now?
My plan right now?
Yeah.
Well, I've been wanting to do this. I mean, it's, there really is no plan, man. It's sometimes, to be completely honest, I wonder if it isn't even possible to sustain soberness, like, forever. Because, and, you know, I don't want to discourage people, because there are people out there that got that have been sober for a long time. But I mean, I've been to the rehabs, I've been to the detox centers, I've been to the methadone and all that. It's really just, you have to really in yourself want to be sober. And I really do want to be sober. It's just really hard to find that in yourself and actually bring it out and actually work that, you know, work that program that you're doing. As of right now, the whole methadone thing, I've been trying to wean myself off it, not going as much every day. Honestly, I can't really afford to go every day anyway. I've been wanting to go to a detox center and, you know, detox off the methadone or whatever, because I've actually heard it's a lot worse than withdrawing off of heroin. But the thing is with that, man, I had a friend who goes to the methadone clinic. He's been on it for like almost 2 years, and he was like, yeah, I'm done with this stuff. He actually went to treatment for the methadone, went to a detox center for 2 weeks, and he was right back.
Once he got out?
When
he got back out, he went right back to it?
Yeah, a couple days later, I seen him back, and I was like, what happened? I thought, you know, you went to the, I thought you detoxed and were done and all that. And
yeah.
I seen, you know, a track mark, and he was like, I messed up, man. And I've still been withdrawing off the methadone, so he came right back there. And I'm just hoping one day, man, I'll find my way. You know, I've been through a lot of stuff. I've lost, you know, family members. A lot of my family members have disowned me. My friends could possibly be on the verge of losing my fiance. You know, and always just circles back around to me secluding myself with my brother, and, you know, it goes back, you know, wrong.
So you use with your brother?
Yeah, my brother, he's an addict too, and
he's still in that addiction.
No, he's actually, he goes to the methadone clinic right now. He's actually been sober. He's been doing really good, actually, better than me. But he is, there is a couple addicts in my family, and I can't say I really got it from them because they didn't really get into heroin, but, you know, it's, this trip has just caused me so much problems. I'm on probation in 3 different counties because of it, you know.
Yeah.
I caught 2 heroin charges and driving without license and giving false information to the police because, all because of heroin, all of it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Do you work right now?
Right now I'm not working. I've been trying to get a job, and everybody's, you know, like, down to me, like, oh, you're not trying to get a job and stuff like that. But I really have, and I honestly don't know what it is. I don't know if God has a plan for me, and he's trying to give me the best job he can give me, but for some reason, I cannot get a job. I've been doing a little side work with my pastor on the weekends and stuff like that. I've been talking to him about addiction and stuff like that, because my stepdad left my mom, and that put her in a really vulnerable stage to where she's having to pay bills on her own and stuff like that.
But you're living with your fiance right now?
Yeah, I'm living with my fiance. I've just been, we used to go to that church when we were little kids and stuff like that as a family. And
yeah. So you're going back to that church?
Yeah. It's really just drugs that have just really destroyed my life. It's sad, man. It really is. Because it's torn my mother to pieces, and my fiance that's, you know, goody-goody, really doesn't know anything about drugs.
Right.
And shown her.
It's funny how we attract women like that,
crazy,
right?
Man.
We attract the opposite of ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my wife's the same way.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, she's not. She never had any problems with addiction.
Really?
Yeah.
She hasn't either. Neither has my mom. My mom hasn't either. My mom's done the best she can to understand addiction and stuff like that. Because when that first started out, she really despised me for it. Didn't really want anything to do with me. And then once she found out it was a disease and a lot of us couldn't help it, stuff like that, she actually started reading about it and researching about it. She started to understand a little bit and, you know, go to meetings of a lot of friends that are addicts, and their moms and my mom and stuff go to meetings and stuff like that. And they talk about us and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's, come off to this last time me relapsing is one of my friends hitting me up on Facebook, and she's told me over and over again, you know, delete your past friends that have, you know, addiction problems and stuff like that. Hitting me up on Facebook and, you know, saying, let's go use, let's go down. And I even told him no. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. This is a bad idea, you know. Even talked him out of doing it, and then, as I talked him out of doing it, I turned around and went and did it.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy how it works, man. It really is. It's just, there's no way to really explain it. It's, your whole life when you're an addict, you're really just carrying, like, it's like you're carrying 100 pounds on you, you know what I mean? A monkey on your back for the rest of your life. It never goes away. It's, even when you're sober, it's, something's always in your ear telling you, you know, oh, you could go get high right now. You know, you could go back to that. Even when you're sober, it's, you know, it's sad, man. And I wanna beat it. I wanna find a way to beat it and become sober, and, you know, tell people my story. And, you know, look how far I've come. You know, but I don't know what it is right now. It's lately I've been struggling really hard, really hard.
Well, and, tell me what you feel about yourself. When you look at yourself in the mirror, who do you see?
Really, I see someone who's stronger than that. than being an addict. And I know that I'm better than that, and but there's just something standing in the way, blocking that part of me, you know what I mean? And I guess it's the addiction, you know? But I want to knock that part of myself out of the way and, you know, grasp the old me, to where before I used, back to a normal life and stuff like that, even. It's crazy, you know, because when I was an addict, it got so bad to where, you know, I'd be riding in the car to get dope, and I'd see people passing by in their cars, and I'm thinking, I wonder what it's like to just be normal, to not think about drugs all the time, about getting high, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder what it's like to be like that, you know, going out as a normal day, work, come home to your family, eat dinner, stuff like that, you know, go to bed, and not think about drugs all the time. It doesn't matter how hard I try, there's always a part of me every single second of the day that's always thinking, oh, I can do, you know, it's always going to be there, you know, no matter what you do, it's always going to be there.
Well, it takes time. I mean, I think, like, for me, this month, I'll have 6 years clean.
Really?
And I think about it far less. I mean, it does happen.
Yeah.
Right? I hit stress, whatever kind of stress I hit. And yeah, like in my head, there is this mechanism that goes, oh, you know, you could just like get high and forget about this. But that mechanism, that voice, whatever that is, that piece of me, it's no longer in control.
Yeah.
And it's not as loud, you know?
Than it was before.
As it was before.
That's how it was when I had those 2 years under my belt.
Yeah.
Until it was right there in front of my face.
Right. Now, that's the truth. Like, if I was in a room, my thing was cocaine. So if I'm in a room and there's cocaine, I got like 3 seconds to get out of there.
Yeah.
Because if I don't get out in 3 seconds,
yeah,
I'm using.
It's if you can make it past, I think, what is it, 20 seconds of your cravings?
Yeah.
That you can beat it or you can work.
But if it's in the room with me, there's no chance.
Yeah.
I got to get out.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to use. And so I think, like, that's been my, I guess, saving grace is that, you know, I'm in environments that I don't have that. So those moments when I do have, you know, the cravings that I, it's really weird because I hear myself talking.
Yeah.
but when I do have the cravings that I'm in a situation, in a place where it's like that, those 20 seconds or that minute or whatever the craving lasts, it passes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't get the physical craving like I used to. You know, my, like I said, drug choice was cocaine. And so that takes a long time to get past that, you know, the physiological connection that you have to it. And so I don't have that, but I used to get it. Like I used to drive by places where I used to cop and I'd get bubble guts. I would be like, oh, I could feel, you know, or,
you can almost feel the high.
Yeah. Or if I stay at a hotel or,
that
like, I still can't look. I can't look at a glass desk. As soon as I look at a glass desk, all I think about is cocaine. It's like, I can't. So when I got out of rehab, I got rid of my glass desk.
Yeah.
And all that. But I'm saying that, I'm saying all that to say that, you know, it is tough. And where you're at is tough. And if when you're seeing yourself in a mirror, if you really are seeing somebody who's strong and stronger than this, then you don't have to stay a lifetime clean. You just today.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, just one day at a time.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know.
Yeah, it sounds corny and.
But
and
really,
stuff
like
that, but it's yeah. the reality of things. It's,
yeah.
It really is one day at a
it
time.
It really is.
You can make it past that one day.
Yeah, like when I go to bed, if I go to bed and I didn't use, the rest of the day could have blown.
Yeah.
But if I got to bed and I didn't drink or drug, that's a win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it really is.
It really is. Do you feel like with you going to methadone, do you feel like you're not really being clean? That's what it sounds like. It sounds like
you really
feel like
does.
You're still using.
It really does. I mean, to be honest, yeah, it kind of does. Because you're having to you're having to replace it for something else, you know what I mean?
You're still controlled by something outside of yourself.
Yeah, you're still controlled by something outside of yourself other than your decision, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, it really does feel as if you're not sober, but it really does help, and it's really worked wonders for me, it really has. But I just feel like it's not going to keep you sober, you know what I mean?
Right.
It has to be yourself.
It's a Band-Aid that's
on you right now. Yeah, it's a Band-Aid. It's exactly what it is. You know, I really just want to get off this stuff too, because I just feel like I'm just patching up that,
yeah,
you know, that sore, I guess you would say.